Welcome to the Fruit Factory. I am Elvira, the Lord Jesus Christ's servant for this work, his daughter, and his ambassador. I welcome you to this platform and to this ministry, which is devoted to those who desire to live their lives for Christ. Today, I just had a short message that I wanted to share with you all who will listen to this one day. And it is regarding the necessity to not be ashamed of our Lord. The necessity to obey Him even when it does not make any sense. The necessity to pay the price of faith, which is a price you pay in this relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faith without sight. To kill inside of you that need to always know, that need to be in control. Because when you live for Jesus, you are not in control. He is. You don't really have a word to say if you truly are submitted to Him. If you truly submit, what does the Bible say about that? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do you get the devil not to leave you alone, not to not target you, but to flee from you? Do you know what fleeing means? Fleeing means that I am running away from you. It means that I am running for my dear life. You know, when Jesus talked about the end times in Matthew 24, he said, "Flee to the hills." In that time, you know, he was talking about the last days, the end times. And he said, "Flee to the mountains." What does fleeing mean? If people are dying, people are sick, if there is evil in a way that you cannot quite comprehend because of how dominated we are by darkness in this world during this time called the end times, just before the Lord's return. And the Lord says, flee to the mountains. He's saying run. He actually said, don't go back to pick up your suitcase. He actually said, don't go back. He's saying, don't even think about what am I leaving behind. Oh my goodness, I left my computer. Oh, I left this. Oh, I left that. No, don't even think about that. Flee. That is what fleeing means. It means run for dear life. Run for dear life. Run. It means all you have in your mind in that moment is to survive, basically. That's what fleeing means. It means that you're not only running away, you're not only changing routes, but you are trying to save your life. You're trying to stay alive. Fleeing is a survival mechanism. So when the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, look at that statement, that verse right there. The first prerequisite is to submit to God. And submitting to God is not an easy thing if he's not broken you, if you're not broken enough, if you're not bent enough. Submitting to him is not easy. And the more you submit, the more he requires of you to submit more, if that makes sense. The more you're bent, the more he wants you to bend. You understand? The more you give up of yourself, the more he wants you to continue giving up. And the more you're giving up, the less it makes sense to those around you. Because those around you do not submit to him. They may call themselves Christians. They may call themselves believers, but they are not submitted to God. Because if they were, they would not look at you as if you're an alien. Submission to God will require doing things that people will not understand. That's because God is God. He's not human. He's mighty. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He sees things that you do not see. He knows things that you do not know. And once you begin to submit to him, he will begin to make you live your life in a way that pleases him. He will begin to make you walk down a very narrow path that leads to life. But that path does not make sense to those who are on the large path that leads to death. His narrow path is filled with instruction from him. And his instruction, he gives it out of his divine position as God. He does not give it to you out of a position as a human being or an earthly father, or for you women, an earthly husband. The Lord is not man. He's not a human being. So when you begin to walk that narrow path, he sees things that you do not see. He knows. Imagine that you're on a road and there is a separation of the road, just a few steps forward that you cannot see. He sees that. So you may be walking on this road and you know that, okay, my destination is just ahead of me. You can actually see it with your eyes, but you cannot see that before getting there, there is a huge pit. So what does the Lord do? He asks you, take a right here. And then you're like, how do I take a right here? This is the destination. I can see it. It's just ahead of me, Lord. It is right here in front of me. He's saying, yes, but take a right. Just trust me and take a right. And another thing that the Lord does not do, he does not tell you why. You know why he does not tell you why? Because he requires you to walk by faith. That's the first thing. You cannot develop your faith. If you always have explanations for everything, then you're not walking by faith. You're walking by explanation. You're walking by reasoning. And if you think that you can reason things out with God, you're not submitted to him. Submission, part of submission, a massive part of submission actually, is knowing that God knows more than you do. It is knowing that you are limited. It is knowing that he is limitless. Faith requires not knowing. If you know, then you're not walking by faith any longer. If you need, no, Lord, give me the plan ahead of time. Well, if I give you a plan ahead of time, then you might just, it's better that you just go to your counselor in town. Right? Where's the difference? Or you go to your therapist. The therapist will give you a 3-year plan. For those of you who go to therapists, God is not your therapist. He's not a human being. He's not your counselor. He's not someone that you call to command around. No, tell me. Tell me what I'm doing. Explain it to me. But why? But why? That attitude truly is killing your relationship with him. Because you know what happens. What happens is when you do it by faith and you finish doing it blindly, then he explains to you what you did. Or sometimes, most times, he doesn't even need to explain to you. When you're on that path, you see the destination ahead of you, and he says, take a right. You take a right. You don't understand why you're taking a right, because it seems as if he's taking you off track of what he's just, of the destination he's told you that you're going to. That place you can see at the end of the path, at the end of the road, it's right there. Why am I taking a right? But you choose to take a right regardless. Why? Because you know that you are serving the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are serving the Alpha and the Omega. If he says jump, you jump. If he says sleep, you sleep. If he says take a right, you take a right. And then when you take a right, he will continue to direct you in the woods now, because you're not on the main path any longer. You've taken a right, you've gone into the bush, you've gone into the woods where there is no path, there is nothing. At this point, you do not have a choice but to listen to his voice and to do exactly as he says, because failure to do that might get you eaten up by a lion or a panther or something. So now you're on a ground where you do not know where you're going. You do not know what you're doing. He brings you into this place so that here he can mold your trust in him. So that here he can show you that if you just do as I say, you will come out of it greater and better than you went into it. So whilst you are in the bush, in the woods, he's saying, climb that tree and wait there for 2 days. And you're thinking, what? We had a destination, Lord. He says, yes, we are still going there, because the purposes of God does not change. His will does not change. How he gets you to that purpose, how he takes you to the finish line, will be filled with adventure. Trust me, my friend. But the end of it itself does not change. So you must learn to obey. You must learn to have faith. You must learn to submit. Not to what you can understand. You must learn to walk without asking, but why, Lord? But why, Father? In the right time, he will desire for you to know. If he does, there are things that he won't. There are things that he won't desire you to know, because it's none of your business to know. There are other things that he will. Once you have walked the way that he's asked you to, he will tell you, "You know, do you know why I asked you to do that?" And you'll say, "No, Father, I don't." And then you'll go to sleep and have a dream where he will show you the amount of things he's just saved you from that you didn't even know you were getting saved from, but that you could get out of because of your obedience. Because you held onto him. Because you decided to look like a fool. Can you imagine? When you left your house, you told your friends and your family This is the destination where the Lord has asked me to go. And your family are clapping, they are cheering. Oh yes, glory be to God. Glory, hallelujah. Except, as they watch you go through the path, they start questioning if everything is all right with you. Especially where you're taking a right. It was weird enough that you decided to go on this very narrow path when there is an entire big road, a highway. You could have taken a car, gotten a highway, driven for 15 minutes, and got to your destination. Except you wouldn't have gotten there. Because the highway, the large path with the Lord, always leads to death. In this world, not with the Lord, in this world. Our Lord said so. Remember? So here you are. Instead of going and renting a car and getting yourself on a highway to get to the destination, you're going by foot. And your family, first of all, is going to say, why are you going by foot? I mean, the destination is there. I know the destination. We all know this destination. Here, take a car and take the highway and go. They're even going to give you the car. You see how Satan works? They don't know it, but Satan is tempting you. Satan is like, take the car and just get there by your own means. Meanwhile, the Lord is telling you, carry a backpack and go by foot. Look at this scenario. You have a destination. God gave you the destination. Okay? You tell your family about it. Glory, hallelujah. You have a whole worship session, because the Lord's destinations are always great. They're always full of victory and joy and peace and abundance, because He's a good God. Where He's leading you to is full of life, always. Sometimes it can be something else. If He's leading you to being a martyr for the faith, still at the other end of your death comes a great reward. A great, great, amazing reward. You know, the martyrs have a special seat in heaven. If you read Revelation, it is talked about. After the different seals are opened, after the different seals, right, are opened, just before they're about to open the seventh seal, the angel says, stop, stop, stop. Don't do it yet. There are still martyrs left that have not died yet for the faith, that heaven is still waiting for. Do not open the seventh seal yet. We still have those martyrs to call home. So martyrs have a specific place in heaven. They have a specific purpose in this faith, in this kingdom. So if that is what you're called to do, do not look at the death of it. Look at that reward in eternity, and it remains life. There is always life in Christ. So to go back to our example, you have this destination. First of all, if the destination is being a martyr, you're probably not going to tell your family, are you? They're going to tell you that you are mad. You are mad. And you're going to say, no, I'm not. This is truly what I feel like the Lord, I know the Lord told me this, that this is how I will end. And then He showed me how it would look like on the other side. He showed me how it will happen. Some of you will have that experience. Some of you listening to this right now, And if that is your case, you need to be ready for that. You need to be ready for that. So that when the moment comes, you don't fold and bow to the beast, but you submit to God and you fulfill that for which he sent you, so that heaven can call back one of her heroes. Not the fake heroes we see on TV today. Not those ones. But the ones who died. Like Christ died. And will rise again. Just like he rose again. So to go back to the story, the analogy. The Lord gives you this destination and you proclaim it. Oh yes, how wonderful. And what happens then? Satan comes in. Because Satan is always sent to test. Okay? It will never, ever miss. As soon as you think something, something good about God, something wonderful about your faith, you just need to think it. Satan will come and test that. So you're saying that you will live for Christ, right? Okay, then I'm going to test you and see if you really are about what you just said. It is a principle. What happened when Peter told Jesus, "No, I will never deny you. I will never deny you, my Lord." He was so zealous. What did Jesus say? He said, Oh, Peter, dear Peter. Jesus was like, you shouldn't have said that. Now I cannot stop what is coming for you. Why did he say? He's God, right? He could just say, okay, then you will not renounce me. You're a wonderful servant. I'm going to reward you for that. But no. He said Satan just asked, just petitioned to test what you just said. And I cannot, all I can do is to pray for you. Why is it that all God can do is to pray for you when the test comes? Because testing is how you grow. It is how you mature. This sugary Christianity that people practice today, please do not look at that as true. It is not. Go back to the Acts of the Apostles and read how they lived and tell me if that has anything to do with what you see around you today. It doesn't. But the Lord says, thus says the Lord, that the end times church will have to be like the first church to survive. If you go to the website, thefruitfactory.co, you go under proclamations. There is a title, The Lord's Proclamation to the Church. He talks about it there. He made me publish it. He talks about the necessity to look to be like that first church, that type of zeal, that type of raw power, the raw anointing, that type of blind faith, absolute faith, total faith. That type of walking in confidence, in submission, walking filled with the Holy Spirit at 100%. That is how this times end times church is going to be. All of what you're looking at in Christianity today will fade away. In the next years, it's going to completely vanish. And what will be left is the church that is exactly like the church that we read in Acts. So if it's been a while since you read the Acts of the Apostles, please go back and read it, because that is the life that awaits all of us. And when I start detailing to you the type of measures that the Lord has been giving me as instruction for this time, the type of things that we are supposed to do in these times to survive, no one around you, no one around you, if they are not submitted to God, no one will understand this stuff. They will call you crazy. They will call you extreme. They will call you intolerant. You have to prepare yourself for that already in advance, because that is what is coming. So if you're not submitted to God, you will fold, because you desire acceptance, because you desire normalcy. There is nothing that is going to be normal about the end times believer in Jesus Christ. And as you submit to God, the type of anointing and power he will put inside of you, there will be nothing normal about that. As you submit to God, the type of measures he will ask you to take to stay alive, just to stay alive, there will be nothing normal about that. Nothing. The things that you have to do to preserve your children, there will be nothing tolerant about that. It will be offensive to everyone around you. And you will need to do it. First, out of obedience to God. And second, out of your own preservation. Because the world is about to go mad. You can already see the signs of that madness. Some of those signs are in your own household, in your father's house, in your in-laws. You can see the madness creeping in. The demonic madness that has come over people. The desensitization to life itself. The total disregard. The total disregard for decency. I'm not even asking you to be righteous in God's standards. I am asking you to be a decent human being. It has vanished already. And we have not even seen the tip of the iceberg yet. And just imagine what it would be like when the entire iceberg of evil, of wickedness is uncovered. It is only those who are willing to be abnormal in the sight of others, only those who are willing to follow God's voice without compromise, without needing an explanation, total, complete, absolute submission to God. It is those only those who will make it. I woke up with this in my heart this morning, in my spirit. I was not planning to do this, but when I finished my morning prayer and so forth, it rested on my chest that I kept thinking, I have to record this. I have to record it. People need to hear this, because one day, maybe this is going to be what will make someone understand that they are not going mad. What God is asking you to do is not madness. It is those around you. It is those around you who are not in tune with God, but you are. It is Satan who wants you to love acceptance more than you love your God. So don't let him. Don't let him do what the Word of God asks us to do. Resist, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do you know what fleeing? He will run away. Why would he run away? Because once you submit to God and you resist the devil, what God sends in your defense against that heinous creature sent him running away for his dear life. He sent him running for dear life. What God sends to protect his people, to fight our battles, will send Satan running, fleeing. It is not out of our own might. It is out of God's might, the Lord of hosts. It is him. And then you reach a point where no one around you understands you, unless you find a few people who are walking that narrow path. And God will bring them in your life. It may take a few years for them to come into your life. But he will bring them in your life eventually, so that you will not walk this path alone. Because walking in alone for a long time is extremely difficult. And we are not beings that are supposed to walk alone. So even if it's just one companion, even if it is just your wife or your husband, even if it's just a friend, the Lord will find someone with whom you will walk that narrow path. And both of you will know that you are on God's team, even though everyone around you looks at you like you are crazy. You will realize that you are the one who is sane, actually. You are the one who has preserved their minds. You are the only one who doesn't have a demon in them because of how strictly you have disciplined your flesh. And as you discipline your flesh, they will think you're so extreme. I remember when I told one of my friends that I have stopped watching movies. Movies and series. I had stopped listening to secular music way before. But I was such a fan of movies. I actually, at some point, was going to work in that industry. So imagine going from almost working in that industry. And this is the Lord who stopped me. And instead, he turned me into a minister to Hollywood. There are a few people who believed and who are trying their best to free themselves of those contracts. But once you've lived and laid with Satan, getting out of it is difficult. But we keep them in our prayers. So the Lord stopped me and instead started exposing this place to me and made me minister to them the truth, the gospel of the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus. So you can imagine going from that, the person who was almost getting into this stuff. I mean, I had written scripts that were convincing as a screenwriter. But the Lord said, wait first. And I thank him for that. But that passion was also so that I would be in a place where I could reach them. There is a certain thing that happens when you're called to reach, to have an assignment in a certain place. Usually the Lord will put inside of you certain traits that are compatible with that place, even if you are not you're not aware of it until the time where he says, actually, this passion that I had put in you for screenwriting or for films and so forth, it was so that you could reach these people and speak their language. That's what happened to me. So you can imagine going from there to saying, I have decided to stop watching movies, watching series. This is my good friend with whom I used to have actually movie nights. We would watch movies together in the group, popcorn, the whole thing. This was many years ago that we did this actually through the night. At some point, I stopped being able to do that just because life became busy. I just didn't have that. I would fall asleep and just sleep through the night. But anyway, so this friend of mine was speechless. He was like, but how? And then he started telling me that I'm becoming a fundamentalist, that to him, Christianity is about tolerance. That is what Jesus taught. Then I started preaching to him hard. When I tell you hard, I was not cutting corners. I told him that he is going to go to hell, a hell that he does not believe in. You do not believe in hell, it does not mean that it does not exist, my friend. That's where you're going. You believe in a Jesus that does not exist, my friend. I preached to him. He got offended. He told me that I am the one who needs to be humble. I asked him to humble himself before God and to ask God to reveal himself to him. And he told me that I am the one who needs to be humble. I was like, okay. You see, that's where you know, okay, this is someone that we may have been friends before, but he's never, ever going to understand anything about me. And many of you will have that, will come to that, to those kind of realizations. And when it happens, you need to accept it and move forward. Period. You can try to do what I did. You actually should do that. Preach to them the truth. And if they reject the truth, well, what can I say? I did my part. But it is not you who will stand in the way of my salvation, stand in the way of my reward. Never. You need to be able to stand with God, submit to him, and ignore everything around you, everyone around you. They will call you names, believe me. Your family will probably, if your family is not on that narrow path, they will not understand what is going on with you. Even in your church, when you start getting to know the real God that we serve, the God of the Bible, your friends in church will not understand. And why is that? Because in church, the real God is not taught in church. The real Jesus Christ is not taught in our churches. Most of our churches have created some identity that does not exist and calls him Jesus Christ. They don't talk about his wrath. They don't talk about the importance of repenting. They don't talk about the fact that he's pure and holy, that you cannot just go around doing whatever you want and call yourself a Christian. They don't talk about those facts. And that is the real God that we serve. Holiness. If there is one word you could use for God, it is holiness. It is not taught. So when you start walking in holiness, because you serve a God who is holy, you will become an alien. And I'm using the word alien. I actually don't like that word. But it's the best way to explain the phenomenon of separation. You will become separated, and you need to allow that separation to happen. I changed phone numbers 3 times in a span of 3 years, because at the end of each year, the Lord said, change numbers. Because it's time to continue to cut. So each time I change numbers, I will give my new number to a specific amount of people, about half. Actually, the very first time I changed numbers, only about a fourth of my contact list got my new number. And from there on out, it would be cut and cut and cut. Today, those who have my direct phone number are those whom I know seek God the way that I seek Him. Whatever the other people are thinking, oh, Elvira just disappeared. Oh, how is Elvira not available any longer? Do you have her new number? No, you don't. Because I didn't give it to you. I only gave it to those people that I know can understand me to a certain extent. Because when you're a prophet of the Lord, there are more things that are required of you that people will just not understand. If you're called in one of the fivefold offices, I am telling you, there are things that even devout Christians who walk the narrow path, they will not get it. Get ready for that. Accept it. This is the price that we pay. This is the cost of submitting to God. It is not easy. It was never meant to be easy. And the Lord Jesus Christ told it. He said it. He warned us. They will hate you because they hated me first. The people with whom you were best friends within 2, 3, 4 years will hate you. They will hate you because they will see in you what they cannot do themselves. Their demons inside of them will be manifesting in your presence. You will start having arguments with people that you do not understand why you're fighting with this person. It is the demon in them that is fighting you, because that demon sees the holiness you walk in. And demon, Satan, he is allergic to holiness because he's the complete opposite. So you will start standing out, being separated. And as it goes and evolves, you will realize that there are things that you are not willing to explain to people any longer. They will just watch it, wonder why you're doing that, but they will not get an explanation. You will just go about your life, following your Lord's, your Father's voice, your Father's instructions, living your best life. It is in the end that they will be like, ah, so this is what Elvira was up to. And in that end, at that end, it will be too late for them. And for every single one of those friends that I let go of, for those that were close to me, I preached to them. And out of everyone that I preached to, only one or two actually accepted the truth. But that's life, you see. Salvation is personal. Consecration to God is personal. Sanctification to God is personal. That is all that I have for you today. I pray that the Lord will make you receive these words that He put in my spirit this morning to share with you. And as I speak this, memories of the things that I've been through come back to my mind. The person that I was 4 years ago and the person that I am today, 2 different worlds. 2 different worlds. And I thank the Lord for it, because I'm actually seeing and alive now. I was dead back then. And back then I was a Christian, my friends. I was a devout Christian. I've always been a devout Christian. I preserved my body. I didn't really go out partying. I gave into partying, like clubs and stuff at university. But I think that in my lifetime, I've been to a club maybe 5 times or 6 times. And it was all because, oh, it's someone's birthday. Oh, let's go and stuff like that. I was committed in my walk with Christ, but still I was in darkness. I didn't really know him until I heard his voice. And he started teaching me and showing me that, my daughter, this is actually the person that I am. You have been scammed in church. And that happened after I rejected church. I was going to a church and I was like, what am I even doing here? What am I doing in this place? Nothing that I read in my Bible is happening in this place. What am I doing here? And after years of seeking the Lord, at some point, I felt like I am not living the life that I'm supposed to live. I just kept thinking it. It would not leave my mind. So I said, the best thing to do, because it's been a year or two, I've been having these thoughts. I've been trying to push it back. I have a stable job, a good salary, moved into my new apartment, fresh apartment, freshly furnished, the whole thing. But this thing will not leave me. That you are not living the life you're supposed to live. It would not leave me. And I know that that was the Holy Spirit telling me, my daughter, there is more to this. This is not real life. This is not real life. This is not why I brought you here on this earth. Then I took a fast. At the end of the fast, spoke in tongues for the first time. The next day I heard the Lord speak to me audibly and give me my calling as a prophet. A prophet to the nations. Some of you may have had that experience. For me, it began because I started rejecting lies. And the Lord was like, good first step. But now you have to seek me. And I sought him for, I think it was at least 3 or 4 years. Until I actually heard his voice and I received the call as a prophet to the nations. Maybe you had another experience, but you had this thing called submitting to God. It is intentional. It must be consistent, and you have to be seeking him every day, every day. Every day. Okay, Lord, what do I do today? Tell me, Father, and I will do it because I submit to you. Father, show me, what is my week supposed to look like? What do you want me to accomplish today? Okay, I thought I would be going to this person's place, but you don't want me there. All right, I will stay here and I will be in prayer just like you want me to. I will book this flight. I do not have the money, but you're asking me to go to this place. Father, just please provide the means. I trust that if you want me to book this flight to Australia, I'm taking a random example of the furthest place that we know. If you want me to go to Australia, Father, I do not know how to get there. I do not have the money. I do not know anyone there, but I trust that when I submit to you, you will make a way. And you submit and you start praying about it every day until, paf, a solution walks delivered to you by the Lord. Because you sat there and you waited upon him and you persisted and you insisted and you sought him. This is true Christianity. Even when I, as a prophet, I hear the Lord's voice all the time, 24/7. I do not need to be asleep. I do not need some worship environment or whatnot. He talks to me. And that is how true prophets actually operate. Even then, I seek him. I wait upon him. I sit down in prayer and I say, Father, today I humble myself before you. And I ask that you reveal to me your will for this day. What do you want me to accomplish today? What do you? And then puff, visions start coming, instructions start coming. And then when I wake up from that, no one around me will understand. What are you doing, Elvira? Yes, God asked me to. Are you sure? Because there is XYZ better options for you. And I'm thinking in my heart, I'm thinking, because you think you have better options than God, right? But you know, you have to be civil. You just say, no, you know what? I'll just do what the Lord asked me to do. Some people are so insistent. And I'm like, you call yourself a Christian. I am telling you that God said something. And you're trying to persuade me that you have a better solution. Which God do you serve? You know, sometimes I ask myself that. I am telling you that this is not a decision that I am making, but that God is making. And you think you can change my mind. See? These are the things that's what I'm telling you. Even the most devout Christians, there are things they will not understand. If you're in the fivefold ministry, they will not understand that. Because the Lord has a different standard for us. And why is that? It is in his word why it is. He said, he to whom much is given, much is required. So the Lord will not tread with you like he does with someone who is not in the fivefold ministry, because you have a specific calling upon your life. And depending on how large your territory is, even within the pool of the fivefold ministry, he will require different things from different people. He will be more severe with certain people compared to others. He will ask greater sacrifice from certain people compared to others. You need to be conscious of this. And you need to be willing to be the only person who is doing something in the room. To be singular all the time. This is the price. This is the price that we pay. When Apostle Paul says, I was crucified with Christ, so that in me, not I would live any longer, but Christ through me. That is what it means. So, this is what I had to share with you today. And I pray that you have received this and that the Lord will make you meditate on these words. Meditate on it. And ask yourself, is this in my life? Is this alive in me? Is this standard that the Lord is setting up of separation, the standard of being willing to be singular, being willing to be the only one doing something because God asks you to, being willing to submit and to walk even when nothing makes sense? But God is telling you, go. God is telling you, jump. Will you jump? If you walk towards the sea and people plunge into the sea and start swimming, because when you get to the sea, you swim, right? There is water, you swim. But when you get there, God says, start praying and then jump. Will you do it? You will jump the first time, nothing will happen. People will be swimming, moving forward in that sea, and you're still on the shores jumping like a mad woman, like a madman. They will even stop in their tracks, in their swimming, and turn around and say, that foolish woman is still jumping. Why don't you just swim? Right? Why don't you just swim? This is water. Get in it and swim like us. This is what you do. But you are on that shore and you're hearing God say, keep jumping. Keep jumping. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep jumping? And then people around, people in town are going to come around and they'll start staring at you. Why is this woman jumping? The others have swum. They are 1, 2, 3 kilometers into the sea and you're still here jumping. And everyone will start looking at you and pointing fingers at you and laughing at you. Like, ha ha ha, look at her, she's jumping. It makes no sense. Why won't she just swim? Oh my goodness. But you are hearing God say, keep jumping. Will you be able to keep jumping? Will you be able? And he may tell you, keep jumping, keep jumping, keep jumping. And then he says, stop and go back home. And you are going to stand there like, but God, there is the sea there. You told me we are going to the end of the sea on the other side. He'll say, yes, go back home. We are still going, but go back home. This is the God we serve, okay? And when you go back home, you will realize that a car is waiting for you. You'll get in the car, and instead of the car driving, the car will start flying. The Lord's car will fly and go and drop you off at your destination, period. The car had been there the entire time, by the way. But the Lord wanted you to do an act of obedience, an act of faith, so that you would qualify to just go and relax in the car and get dropped off at your destination. You pay the price for that. The price you paid is that brainless jumping at the beach. So why is the people that are fighting the waves in the water, getting eaten by sharks? Not you, because you serve a bigger God. You serve the one living God. This is what faithfulness to God looks like. And I'm going to tell you something, my friends. He will never fail you. You may look like a fool, but he will not allow you to be shamed. When those people who were mocking at you will see you comfortably in your destination, while all those who swam have been eaten up by sharks, they will be like, oh, that sister was up to something. We didn't understand it back then. But clearly, the God she serves, he is the real deal. So, thank you for listening today. I've been trying to stop this, but each time I'm trying to wrap it up, something else comes to my mind. But I'm going to stop it here. If you have benefited from what I've talked about today, and this is the type of things that you desire to hear more of and that you desire to put into practice, most importantly, I invite you and I exhort you to subscribe and to share this message with those of your friends who you think, or your family who you think would benefit from this platform, from this ministry. And I also invite you to go to the website, thefruitfactory.co, where there are prophecies published, which is our primary place of publishing, essentially. And stay tuned to what the Lord has for us, because there is a lot more coming, especially that there is no time left. We are at the end. There is no time left. So thank you for being here. I am Elvira, and God bless you.